Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. Head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Thursday night if we're on the air. Welcome to Reality and Relationships. I am your host, K.L. Belvin, and I am joined by my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Are you around, darling? You there?
I'm here.
All right. And we want to thank everyone that is tuning in to our show. And if this is your first time, thank you. And if you've been here before, thank you. And if you're tuning in from your computer, we appreciate that. And if you want to leave your computer and you have to go out, you don't have to miss the show. You can call in and listen from your phone. And the number is 646-200-3838. And we have a very interesting show tonight. And normally we don't give away what we're going to be talking about, but Tiff has been getting at me all week talking about this. And so I'm just going to give you a little hint. but we do have a special guest that is coming on a little bit later on in the show, and her name is Patrice Rivers, a.k.a. Lyrical Passion, and she is going to explain her two poetry books and the third that she has coming up. And we look forward to meeting with her and talking to her. Her and I have been going back and forth with each other all week, making sure that we stay connected. So I'm excited to hear and learn more about this young lady. And my lovely wife wants to talk about the side chicks and the side chick syndrome.
Side chick.
Huh?
Wait a minute. We're not going to dwell on the side chicks.
No. I know we're not going to dwell on the side chicks. I know that. We're going to talk about the side chick syndrome and how some women don't know, you know, that there's something wrong with being the side chick. But I'm going to let my wife later on explain what that's about and why she chose this subject to talk about it. And we have a little history about it. So if you never picked up from Gigolo to Jesus, well, let me explain to you. I got caught cheap 3 times. And we've had our situations with side chicks who didn't want to relent and give in after I had already started to change my life. And so Tiff had to go toe-to-toe, not physically, but intellectually, with some of these young ladies that didn't want to let loose once I said I was done. And
you know,
you have to read the book. You have to read the book to understand. Anyway, we're going to discuss that. But like we do every week here on Reality and Relationships, we're going to recount what's been going on for the week. So, honey, how's your week been to this point?
The week's been great. I was thankful because of the snow, I didn't have to go out in it. So we had snow again.
Okay.
I was sad to see the mayor did not close the school because, you know, to me it becomes a safety issue. They can't possibly clean up the streets as efficient as I think they should to make it safe for the kids to get back and forth with no problem. You never know. And it's funny because I had I have a friend that I went to school with, and we're now Facebook friends. He actually posted a video. He was waiting for the bus, and the bus got stuck in the snow. And as the bus was attempting to unstick himself, a boy was walking by, had on his book bag, and he slipped in the snow in front of the moving bus. So it just goes to show that, you know, at any time, anything can happen, and to take that chance to have the schools open without snow being cleared completely, I just, you know, the mayor, de Blasio, I have to give him credit, but then he came on and he apologized because he had made this big statement about how they had their forced out to clean up the snow, but then right around the corner from where he had just gave his press conference, there was still snow and ice in the street, so he had to come back on and apologize. But other than that, this week, I've been in baby shower.
Hold on 1 second. I just want folks listening to understand, it was never about the kids. It was about the dollars, because the mayor did say that, you know, we're going to look at the situation, but it was as cold the other day as it was the previous Friday that they closed schools, and his statement then was, it's too cold for our kids to be out here waiting on the bus and so forth and so on. And so that's why they closed schools. And here the other day, it was this Wednesday, it was the same thing. And you know what? I had said to fellow teachers that schools are going to be open because they know parents are going to keep the kids home. But they do not want to pay teachers to be home because they've already given us one snow day. They do not want to give another one because they know it's going to be very difficult to try to make us make up those days to where they have to pay us, and so it is what it is. But we wound up having enough kids to form basically 3 1/4 class of the normal student body. So it was just ridiculous. Stuff that they were doing in school, they could have did at home. So it is what it is. New mayor, same playbook.
It doesn't change. It's always about the dollar.
Always.
Anyway.
All about the money. But yeah, go ahead, darling.
So these past couple of weeks, I have been in baby shower prep mode. I have my dear sister, Leticia, and a few of my friends and family. They have come together, and they're working on the baby shower. And
with no budget.
What happened?
With no budget.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. We don't have a budget because more than half of the organizers are not working. I'm not working. And we're basically doing it on a shoestring. But Tisha, she called me the day before yesterday. She said, I don't want you to worry about anything. We have everything under control. It's going to be nice. And I know it is, because Tisha is very thorough. And she, even when she's planning stuff at the house, she really puts her all into it. She puts a real good effort into it. So I'm just looking forward to having fun. The only problem that I'm seeing is, you know, black people, we got to do better.
Hey, people, you can't just lump all
black
the people,
people
of color into that.
Wow,
you played the race card.
Because when it comes to my non-black folks, I have no problems with RSVPs. But black folks,
wow.
The invitations have been out for 2 weeks, okay?
Wow.
The baby shower is on February 8th. As of the day before yesterday when I spoke to Tisha, honey, she had 3 RSVPs. But the funny thing is, now, her information, along with my other friend Andrea's information, are on the invitation. Now, because a lot of people that I invited are Facebook friends, when they get an invitation, they'll send me a message. I got the invitation. I'm coming. Did you contact the RSVP? No. Why are you telling me that you're coming? You got the invitation. The invitation says, please RSVP, Letitia.
Read.
So now,
read.
Now we got to go through a whole extra step. So now I have to, somebody say to me that they got the invitation. I tell them to make sure that they call whatever net number is on the invitation. But I also send Tisha a message to say, this person contacted me. I don't know if they contacted you. Because she's only received 3 RSVPs. I have had at least 10 people tell me, I got the invitation, I'm coming to the baby shower. So,
you know, the crazy part is, now they won't RSVP, they'll show up. And
yes.
Then when there's not enough food, we'll complain
yes,
that they didn't get
about
any food, not realizing that you have to take into account how many people's going to be there so you don't have food just sitting around and then having to be stuffing it in people's cars and just
right.
Taking it home and sitting in the refrigerator for the next couple of weeks. Folks don't seem to understand that part.
And we've had this discussion, you know, when we talked about etiquette. It's just a matter of giving the courtesy. If you know that you're coming, call and say, I'm coming, to just show up. And like you said, I've been to functions where food ran out. And this is when I was much, much younger, didn't realize that people don't RSVP. And you're wondering, how in the world of food run out? You didn't buy enough food? Well, if the people didn't say they were coming, why would you buy a whole lot of food for 100 people and then only 30 show up? You know, it just doesn't make sense. So the idea is people learn the RSVP. I also wanted to give a happy birthday to our Aunt Jeanette. That's Kale's aunt. Her birthday is today. Happy birthday.
And my man, Rob Cooley.
Rob's birthday is today, too?
Yeah, that's my son's godfather.
But I don't have to miss the Facebook. I like Facebook because you don't have to remember people's birthdays, really. It reminds you, so you can front sometimes and say, happy birthday! Also,
it also gets you in trouble when you don't send somebody a birthday. Be like, you saw it. No, I didn't. I really didn't.
Didn't Facebook send you a message that today's my birthday?
I wasn't reading that, so I just skipped right over that. I'm telling you the truth.
You know what's funny with Facebook is that on our anniversary, it'll tell you, today's your anniversary to K.L. Belvin. And I'm like, oh, I needed a reminder that today's my anniversary.
Yes, some people do. Listen, my brother stopped speaking to me because I didn't wish him a happy birthday on time. And I was like, you done lost your mind, man. You must have got me confused with these chicks you talk to. Because he was like, you on Facebook every day. You couldn't wish me a happy birthday. And I said, you got to bring that tone down, man, because I can't even believe you actually getting upset. You're a 40-year-old dude, man. Now, we ain't talking like 4 or 5 years, man. I was like, hey, that's what it is. But he wish me happy birthday every now and then, but we really don't talk because he mad over Facebook.
Mad over because you didn't wish him a happy birthday on Facebook.
It is what
anyway.
It is. Gotta learn him. Yeah,
speaking
that's
about
what else going on.
Speaking about brothers, I think I mentioned this before. I had a brother that was 2 years younger than I am, and he passed away when he was 13. from cancer. Today would have been his 36th birthday, and I was doing some reflection, and I put a post on Facebook to make people aware, to try to bring some type of awareness as far as cancer is concerned, because my mom just passed in September from cancer, and just to be cognitive of what's going on with your body and be your own advocate for your health care is very important, because even though you might think something's not serious, it can be. And even when you go to the doctor, and if they don't take it seriously, it still can be serious. And that was the case with Tracy, where he had developed lymphoma, which started out as a small, very small lump in his throat, and we could actually see it. And it started to get bigger and bigger. And when my mom took him to the doctor, he was first diagnosed. They said, oh, he has a throat infection. It'll be fine. Then next time he has tonsillitis, he'll be fine. Then the next time it was, oh, it's an abscess. And actually a doctor insisted that it was an abscess. He was a doctor. My mom didn't know what she was talking about. He actually attempted to withdraw which would normally be fluid from an abscess, and it didn't happen, and he realized that he was wrong. And it took several months of being misdiagnosed, almost a year, before he was finally diagnosed at Mount Sinai Hospital with cancer. And he started treatment. The treatment went, he went into remission for a little while. And then, unfortunately, the cancer returned, and by that point it had spread. And unfortunately, he succumbed to the cancer. So it's very important to just pay attention to what's going on with you and be your own advocate. I just wanted to say
I want to say to every parent that's listening, or just anybody that's listening, cancer is the uncontrolled growth of cells. And I discuss it with my health classes. I teach it on a regular basis. Well, we just teach health in general, but cancer is the uncontrolled growth of cells. When you have something wrong and an area has continued to grow, or it started out feeling one way, but then the area has grown, immediately get it checked out and have a scraping or something done to check the whatever it is. Or if your doctor gives you medication and within that 7 to 10 day period or whatever, and it doesn't decrease but it has increased, please get it checked out. Because if caught early enough and the surrounding tissue can be removed, you could actually be cancer-free and have no problems. But if it starts to spread to other tissue, then it becomes a problem, and before you know it, it is too late. And I honestly believe that is what happened to my grandmother, is that the liver cancer that she had, instead of telling us that things were as bad as it had became, she kept saying she was okay. And then by the time we actually got her to see a doctor, it had spread to various parts of her body, and there was nothing that we could do. So I hope that anyone listening, please, when you start to see things growing that it's not supposed to, please get it checked out. Do not just shrug it off. And doctors can be wrong, too, only because they may not know. But when something starts to grow and you know it ain't supposed to be growing, please get it checked out.
Right. So how was your weekend? So
my week was, listen, I'm a New York City educator in the snow. So that by itself is a little disgruntling. But, no, it wasn't bad. I made it. I have dealing with a flat tire. Finally got nothing worse than having a flat tire in the snow in New York City. But the AAA guy was real cool. He came out to help me out. Didn't take that long, and I was fine. I eventually got that tire patched up. My biggest news for this week is I decided to get on a scale. As I've said before, and I've been sharing on Facebook, I started working out a couple of weeks before the new year, because I did not want to wait till the new year and say, okay, I'm going to set a New Year's resolution. I wasn't doing any of that. I started right after my birthday, December 20th, and said, you know what? I have to do something about my health and to make sure I am taking an active role in my health. And I've been going to the gym. And I post when I'm at the gym, and sometimes I forget, but I didn't realize how many people are actually following. Well, I have lost 17 pounds in a little less than a month.
Okay. Wow.
You need a sound effect now? I have lost 17 pounds in a little less than a month, and I'm happy with it. And, you know, my goal was never to get on a scale, because I have certain articles of clothing that I plan on wearing as I get smaller, and that will let me know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But I just happened to jump on the scale Monday when I was at work and say, you know what, let me see, because my clothes is fitting a little looser. I felt like I had a little bit more energy. Cool. And once I saw that, I said, okay, you know what, 17 is cool, but now it means I got to work harder. So I went to the gym last night, and I poured it on, something awful. So I'm a little tired today. I think I'm going to do some Tae Bo in the house, but I really need to get some rest because I got to go bowling tomorrow. So I'm doing it about 3 to 4 days a week. I'm trying to get it consistently up to 4 to 6 days a week. Just simply 1 hour of cardio, and I'm watching what I'm eating. And the weight is going to take care of itself. I'm waiting for the plateaus. I'm waiting for the negatives. Yeah, there's been some bumps in the road here and there with some things that I might not have eaten and whatever. I don't drug myself out on that. I know that if I stop doing the things that are negative, control that, keep doing what I'm doing, the body will change as it has been doing, and I have seen positive results, and I'm just going to keep doing it. And that's really it. And that's the biggest thing for this week. And so I'm just going to continue to do the things that I know my body needs, because I have a little girl on the way, and I want to be there for that little girl, and I want to be here for my wife. So, and I want to be here for my students, and I want to be here for everybody, and I want to be here for myself. So it's on. So, you know, and the gym is one of the funniest places in the world. It is the new nightclub between all the eye candy.
That's
male
why
and
you
female.
Like going.
No. I like going because it's hilarious, because I like how people kind of act like they're not there to check other people out, but yet they are. Some chick fell on the treadmill the other day. Yesterday. I don't know how you fell on the treadmill, but all right, whatever. And then I just kind of watch how people kind of check each other out, and how dudes get off like the elevator, which I think that's kind of crazy. You come to the gym to get on the elevator. But anyway, and they all got that swollen look. They all got that chest out, monkey arms to the side. And they haven't lifted a weight yet. And I'm going to tell anybody, if you go to Planet Fitness, they have the prison section, which that's like the free weight section. Every dude is over there grunting and looking real angry. It looked like somebody about to get shanked at any moment over there. So I kind of don't go over there. And the Planet Fitness bathroom is the creepiest place on the planet. When you in the Planet Fitness bathroom, you think at any moment you're about to catch it. So I don't really go in there. I go in there real quick. And some strange person, I guess, I don't know who it is, I guess they think people are watching them, because every time you go in the bathroom, there's toilet paper that's draped down over, like, the sides of the door so people can't peek in. I'm like, if you that nervous, then you need to do whatever you need to do before you get into the gym. Because I see the toilet paper there each time, and I'm like, okay, whatever. So I try not to stay in the bathroom too long, but it's actually been paying off. And I just have, and, you know, another thing, I was working on my iPod, and yes, I fixed the battery, but then I messed up the LCD screen, so I'm going to try to repair that. And I like to do a lot of things on my own. I don't like to pay somebody to fix something if I think I can do it. So between YouTube and the tools that they sent me, I was good. But unfortunately, I pressed the LCD screen and messed it up, so I'm going to try to replace that. And because it is kind of cool when I have my iPod, but Pandora got me through last night's workout, so I'm good. I just got to buy some new headphones. I think when we finally get back on our feet, I'm going to treat myself to a halfway decent pair of headphones so I can really enjoy the workouts. But, and that's been it. So we got a couple of minutes before we take our normal break. Why don't we start on the news?
Sure. I wanted to just say, ever since the past 14 weeks, I have actually put in prayers for Avante Kendo's family at church.
Yes. Yes.
So it was very heartbreaking to learn that they did find his remains on the side bank side of the East River near, not too far from his school, actually 11 miles from his school. And, you know, questions are now, unfortunately, there's always going to be questions not answered, but hopefully we can get a lot of questions answered. He was dismembered, and usually when people hear that he was dismembered, the first thing they jump to is, oh, someone killed him. But the truth is, and even the police officers have discussed it, that if his body was in the water that long, he could have decomposed to the extent. So, unfortunately, they didn't find him intact, and his family had to identify his clothes and shoes, his underwear. It's heart-wrenching to think that his family had to go through that because of someone's negligence. because the bottom line.
I just don't understand how you don't check the waters. I just don't understand how you don't check the water and things of that nature. But, you know, and then wasn't there a situation with the underwear not being his or not being the ones that he wore or something like that?
Well, the mother said that it wasn't the size and the brand that he normally wears. So they're investigating now with the school to see if maybe he had an accident at the school and they had to change his underwear or whatever the circumstances were. But, you know, I think from the beginning, it's my belief that the school has not been as upfront as they needed to be, because the attorney for the family was discussing how the security officer who admitted she saw Avante said that she saw him going towards stairs in his school, which in fact he was going out the door, and the video shows between him speaking to the security officer, which she's there on camera, he goes towards the door, so she made no attempt to stop him, and then lied that she saw him go towards the stairs. Not only that,
somebody fired.
The school
looked
for Avante for an hour within the school, which means not only did you see the child go out of school, you didn't even report it to the proper people that he went out to school, and you allow the folks to look for him for an hour, which delayed possibly finding him as soon as possible. So, I mean, at this point,
they're going to start cutting bait at this point. You're going to start seeing, because normally what the Board of Ed does and schools will do at this point, you're going to start cutting bait. So first will be the school safety agent. Second will be the teachers, the aides inside the classroom, whoever was assigned to him and then possibly the teacher. And then it'll work its way up to the principal. And they said there were like four people in the room, right?
They said there were three adults in the classroom of 13 children with special needs. How did he get out of the classroom with three adults? It just doesn't make sense.
They're gonna cut bait, and principal. A lot of people may lose their jobs or be reassigned, but with this one, because it's such a landmark case, there's gonna be a lot of people fired, because the Board of Ed is gonna have to be able to say, because they're gonna have to pay the family money. They're gonna have to. So it really depends on what the family wants out of this, and it's gonna be crazy. But our prayers go out to everyone involved, because even the people that let this happen, our prayers go out to them too, because they gotta live with that. And I don't care how angry people want to feel, they still got to live with the fact that something that they might have done caused the child demise. That is weight that I don't think anybody wants to hold. So
yeah.
So listen, let's do this. Hold on a second, baby. Let's do this. Hold that, because I want to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, finish the news, because I know you have another child to speak about and something else. And then that'll lead us right up into when our guest, Ms. Patricia Rivers, will be on. She's coming on at 8:45. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a one-song break. Don't travel too far. Just, you know, go shake your butt, get some water, go to the bathroom, do whatever. But come on back. We're going to take a one-song break, and then Tiff is going to finish up with the news, and then we're going to invite our wonderful guest on so we can get to know who she is and what's going on with her. So thank you for listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 with Tiffany and I, and we will be back in one song. Oh, and you are listening on GQ Palace Radio. Radio done the right way. This station is on every day of the week. Make sure you tune in at the same station to listen to all the wonderful shows on every day. We'll be back in one song.
This has got to be the saddest day of my life. I called you here today for a bit of bad news. I won't be able to see you anymore because of my obligations and the ties that you have. We've been meeting here every day. And since this is our last day together, I want to hold you just one more time. When you turn and walk away, don't look back. I want to remember you just like this. Let's just kiss and say goodbye.
To meet you here today. There's just so many things to say. Please don't stop me till I'm through. This is something I hate to do.
Let's hear the rest of that news.
Well, in light of the Avante Akindo case, I was looking up some information, and I came across an article of a four-year-old right here in Bed-Stuy, which is only a 10-minute drive away from where KL and I are.
Minutes from where I teach.
Yes.
That's right around the corner from where I teach in Bed-Stuy.
He walked out of his school and walked home. And that just, it burnt me up because it was bad enough with the Avante case. But now, today, this happened today, this morning, 10 o'clock this morning, Samir Talley, he asked his teacher if he can go to the bathroom, which 4 years old is pre-K. It's not even kindergarten, it's pre-K, which means they're not even supposed to go to the bathroom unattended at that age. So he asked his teacher to go to the bathroom. He went to the bathroom, and then he couldn't find his way back to the classroom. He went outside, and he didn't have a coat on. Now, we just told you that it was ice and snow on the ground. Imagine a four-year-old walking several blocks with no coat. I'm so outraged that this even happened in light of Avante and, you know, the understanding of that we need to be more careful and more conscious and understand the importance of securing our children, especially in the school. You send your child to school, you don't expect your child to walk, especially your four-year-old. I'm dumbfounded.
So can we say fired? Because this is literally up the block from my school. I'm between Troop and Marcus Garvey, and 59 is on Troop, so it's right around the corner. So I wouldn't be surprised if we got family members in my school, this young man. But, you know, at this point, somebody will lose their job behind this. You know what they need to, because we, like you said, school safety, parents, teachers' aides, teachers, people have to pay attention. Why is this little boy unattended? We got to stop. And, you know, let me tell you something. I'm going to keep it very real, and I'm not going to take a lot of time with this. Many teachers, and I don't care who gets mad, let them call in and get at me. If they don't teach the kid, won't say nothing to them discipline-wise. I have watched teachers see kids run down the hallway and say nothing because they don't teach them. They're not my students, and I'm like, are you lost your mind? And then we'll sit in meetings and go, what are we going to do about these kids? But yet, they're not going to do anything extra. So I am not shocked that teachers didn't do anything. I am saddened that this kid actually had to be out in the elements and risk frostbite. And if it would have been the day before when it was minus at certain points throughout the day, this kid might have been on his way to the hospital instead of in the loving arms of his parents. So I hope that they put foot through whoever dropped the ball. Yes, exactly. Snatched up by some curve.
They say he walked several blocks home. So anything could have happened. Somebody could have picked him up.
Wow.
It's
just crazy. You know what? Let's say a prayer for all of them because, you know what? I know the Lord's just shaking his head. I created these fools, Lord. But you see what we do? So, what else is going on in the news? I think you had one last piece of news, right?
Yes, I wanted to talk about Sherman, Richard Sherman, our
Richard
NFL
Sherman of the
Seattle
Super Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks. Yes.
Because we got into a Facebook debate. I get into Facebook debates because I have no problem with you making a valid argument that I can say, okay, I see where you're coming from. But if your argument has no merit.
What were y'all debating? Let everybody know what y'all are debating before you discuss the debate. What were y'all debating? Because they may not know who Richard Sherman is.
Okay. Well, Richard Sherman is the NFL player from the Seattle Seahawks who was drafted in 2011. He basically had the winning touchdown that is taking his team.
Let me help out, y'all, because you see what happens when you let a woman try to explain sports. Anyway, Richard Sherman is a defense because he didn't get the winning touchdown. Thank you. Richard Sherman is a defensive back for the Seattle Seahawks, and he is an all-pro cornerback, and his job is to defend a wide receiver. What he did was he made the game-winning play in the game on Sunday that sent his team to the Super Bowl. And afterwards, he had a little controversy, and that controversy was, take it away, my love.
Thank you. He was a little animated. He kind of got at one of his adversaries because there was some beef between them. And people have been doing a comparison of who's better, tea and what's the other one's name, honey? I forgot. I'm
Michael
sorry.
Crabtree. Michael Crabtree.
Right. So he made a comment about him being better, this and the other. He also made like a choking gesture, and he was loud. And I took it on a stride because the fact that KO and I bowl competitively, I see that type of testosterone all the time on a regular basis. So to me, what he did wasn't that bad. But now people are referring to him as thug, uncouth,
villain, and all this other stuff.
Violent.
But people don't realize that he's an all-pro, first of all. He is one of the best in the game, even though he let the world know that he's one of the best in the game. Him and Michael Crabtree have a history that goes back to something that went on off of the field. And then he actually went over to Crabtree, patted him on the butt, and said, hell of a game, hell of a game. Now, I'm going to tell you as a competitor, I don't want you in my face after you just beat me. You know, the gravity of the situation is large. And so Michael Crabtree basically pushed him, or as we say in the hood, mushed him, pushed his hand into his helmet to push him away, and then he made what is basically the cutthroat sign under his neck, which means you choked. Now, anybody that knows sports means, all that means is you didn't do what you were supposed to do when you had an opportunity to do it. It doesn't mean I'm going to cut your head off. It doesn't mean I'm going to cut your throat. It means that you choke, and it's really a choking sign, but most cats make the slashing sign, which means it's over. You choke.
But you know,
now,
funny,
folks
don't
get that.
This was the discussion that we were having on the Facebook post because a woman came on, and she said how it was violent for him to do a choking gesture, and, you know, she just went all in about how he was a thug, blah, blah, blah. And the men on the post were trying to explain to her that he wasn't in any means trying to be violent. And as a woman, of course, because I've dealt with this for years now, I said to her that what she is basically seeing is a cultural miscommunication, and that basically the choking signal gesture doesn't mean that you want to wish your opponent any ill will. It just means that the person who you're playing against choked on the opportunity to do their job in order to beat you.
Now, it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful, but it's not where a lot of people were taking it. It's a sign of disrespect.
Violent.
But they play a violent sport, and what kills me is how folks sat there and watched for 2 hours almost, people being carted off. One dude, an all-pro, Bowman, went to the hospital. His ACL and MCL is tore. Two other people got carted off. No one seemed to have a problem with all the violence that went on during the game, but then it's this gentleman. This gentleman who they're talking about is a Stanford graduate, and he graduated with a 3.7 GPA from one of the best colleges in the country. He was an all-pro football player there. He made a stupid comment in how he handled himself, but you don't then denigrate someone's complete character over a hyped-up 30-second interview. And there's so much of it has to do with color, but people want to dance around it. Because you know what? I don't know how many parents would say, I don't want my child to be a Stanford graduate with a master's degree, playing at the top of his or her sport and doing well. Now, the braggadocious part, yes. You could get at someone and say, well, do you got to let people know it? Do you got to say it? But the beating on the chest has gone on since the beginning of time. Ali was lauded for it. He was cheered for it. Some people hated him for it. But when he produced, they loved him. And people still call him the greatest. And it goes on all the time. But to try to denigrate this young man and vilify him because you didn't like what he said, when he is giving back to his community, he is doing things on a regular, but the minute that someone hears Compton, California, they bug out. The same way when they hear Brooklyn, New York, or South Jamaica, Queens. First of all, the fact that this young man got out of Compton, went to one of the best schools, and then excelled in school, not just on the field, should be enough to give him a pass when we let other folks who say way worse and do way worse free pass.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, so come on, let's keep it real, because a lot of folks is trying to dance around it. It's a color issue, because he was supposed to have class and he was supposed to speak. But we got politicians who openly come out and say, I'm paying prostitutes, and we go, well, he's misunderstood. Really?
Oh, I'm smoking crack.
Oh, come on. Oh, yeah, I'm smoking
crack.
That dude up in Toronto is losing his mind, but yet they keep putting him on TV every day. So you know what? Before we start to denigrate a young man and call him all these different names, learn who he is. Learn what he's done. And you know what? Once you do that, take the time out, you'll see that I think he gets a pass. And right after the biggest game, after the biggest play, you stick a mic in somebody's face with the testosterone level on ultra swole, you don't know what might come out of his mouth. But he didn't curse. He didn't disrespect the young lady that he was speaking to, other than just screaming. And somehow men of color screaming terrorizes some people. But anyway, listen, check out the young man's history. Check out who he is. You'll see that he's a brash dude. But he's not disrespectful. As he said, I've never got into any problems off of the field. And there's something to be said about that. Well, with that said, it is 8:45, so we're just waiting for our guest to call in, and when she does, we're going to throw her on. Oh, is she on? Not yet? Okay. So we're going to wait for our guest to come in, and our guest is Miss Patrice Rizzers, and so when she gets on, we'll definitely, actually, you know what, baby, we can actually start by reading her bio while we're waiting for her to call in, and if she is on the line, please press 1. Just calling in. We don't know if you're there. Because we had that problem a couple weeks ago. I guess we're sitting there like, hey, great show. No, you got to be on. So if you're on, press 1. Let the host know that you're there. And then we're going to go from there. But I tell you what, GQ Palace, is T still on the line? Because I know T was around earlier. Is she still on the line?
Maybe she'll call back in.
Yeah, because I know we said we were going to take call later. Cause maybe, oh, she's on. Okay. So she's gone, so I guess she's going to call back. But so, again, I tell you, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick one-song break while we're waiting for our guest to call in. And hopefully by the time we get back, oh, let's see if this is the guest. We may not take a break. See, I'll let y'all know this is live radio, so we ain't playing no games. This ain't no taped earlier. Okay, so let me see. Miss Patrice Rivers, are you there on the line, love? Okay, we working it out. We're going to get her here. But anyway, back to Richard Sherman real quick while we're waiting for our guests to come on. Let me tell you something, man. I think when people hear braggadocious men of color, it seems to irk them. It's almost like make the money and shut up. I say if you can get it done, do it. But understand, when you brag and you talk like that, you better not fail. See, now here's where he set himself up. The Super Bowl is in another week. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday, the February 2nd. If he goes out and gets torched, if Peyton Manning, which I believe Peyton Manning is going to win, I believe Denver is going to win. If he goes out and gets torched, those same people who is vilifying him, oh, Lord, they going to roast my man like a barbecue chicken.
He has just given them so much ammunition to...
Yes, they going to fricassee my man. They going to smoke my man. He going to be on like one of them cooking shows where they say, see the smoke ring? They going to do him dirty. But now, my hope is that he does his thing and they still lose simply because I want you to be able to say, yo, he played a game that you can't say nothing. Now, I do have a problem that this whole situation took away from two incredible football games. Now, the first one wasn't the Denver and who did they beat? New England game wasn't that good, but Peyton Manning put on a show as an all-time quarterback beating Tom Brady. But that game with Seattle and San Francisco was one of the hardest hitting games I had ever seen in my life. And it was just ridiculous. But we'll come back to that in a minute. I believe we have our guest on the line. Ms. Rivers, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey. I was like, after all the talking we did on Twitter and email,
I called in at 8:45 and I pressed 1, I guess. I don't know. If I was in,
radio, anything could happen. You might be with somebody you don't even know. But we're glad to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Melvin is on with you also.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hey, darling. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Thank you. Welcome to the show. Thank you for
Thank you for having me.
Let's do this the right way because we like to want to introduce you the right way. So my wife is just going to let the folks, she's going to read your bio and let the folks get a little bit about you. And then we're going to get into you, and so we can get to learn who you are. So, honey, take it away.
Yes, we have on air with us Ms. Patrice Rivers, also known as Lyrical Passion, who started her writing career at an early age of 9. With her vivid imagination, she started writing short fiction stories. Then, as years passed, her love of poetry took a full effect at the age of 15. In 2012, she published her first book, a collection of God's Word and Motivation. Her second book was Lyrical Passion, Tears from My Inkwell, which was recently published in November of this past year. And she is working on a third book entitled My Journey with Sickle Cell Disease, which will be released sometime this year. So please welcome Ms. Patrice Rivers. Would you prefer we call you Patrice or Lyrical?
You can call me Patrice. That's fine.
Okay.
Nice. She's like, don't call me the buzz name. I want my government. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Well, welcome, Patrice.
Thank
you. Know
you.
What? I gotta give you a public shout out while I got you on the line. She is one of the most diligent women that I have ever met. She would send me an email just, I don't forget me.
Yes.
If y'all still do it, then let me know. I'm looking forward to coming on. And I said, you know what? Yes. I said, yes. You know what? As soon as we start doing interviews, I have to. And then, you know, what's funny is I semi-forgot. I got to tell the truth. Lord is watching. And when you hit me back and said, I'm still here. Happy New Year. Don't forget me. I said, you know what? Let me send her some dates right now to have her on, because she has definitely stayed in contact with me.
Yeah.
We definitely talk on Twitter on a regular. She retweets a lot of stuff I put out. I do the same for her. So, you know what? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Let's hear who is Patrice Rivers and who is, well, we'll get to Lyrical Passion. Tell us who Patrice Rivers is.
Okay, Patrice Rivers is basically a committed person who's a hard worker, dedicated at what she does. Anything she sets her mind to, you know, she tries to set goals and dreams for herself. So basically, she wants everything, you know, all her goals and dreams to be successful. And she's a very successful person who just wants, you know, people to know who she is, basically.
I got you. So now, with being that driven, what happens when you hit potholes and you don't reach those goals?
I just pray about it and try to stay humble. You know, it gets frustrating at times. You know, I had a lot of those in the past couple of years, but it gets hard. But I just try to stay focused. That's all I can do.
Amen. My first book was poetry, and we will always have a special place in our heart for poets here on our show, as well as what we publish. And so I definitely want to say congratulations to you. So
how did you
get started? Like, now I just listened to your bio, and I had read your bio before, at 9.
Yes.
So how does one get started writing at 9? Everybody else is playing with dolls and throwing dirt at each other. How was you writing at 9?
Well, I played with dolls, too. Didn't really have too many friends, you know, back when I was in elementary school. I believe, you know, God gave us everyone a gift. So I guess that was my gift at an early age. It started, I want to say, when I was in, you know, in the classroom at school, and I just started writing in my notebook different short stories. And I had a whole bunch of short stories, like a whole bunch. It was like over 100, I want to say, you know, growing up, starting at age 9. So I had a whole lot, you know, my imagination, it was very vivid.
Did you let people read them, or did you hoard your work because you didn't want anybody to see that side of you?
I think my parents might have read a few, and my aunt, when I used to go to South Carolina, she used to read a few, but not too many people would read my work back then.
Gotcha. Where are you from?
I am from Virginia, VA, the Suffolk, Hampton Roads area in Virginia.
Okay. And you've been there your whole life?
I was born in South Carolina. I lived in Hawaii for 5 years, but Virginia is basically my home. Yeah, Hawaii. Yeah.
You don't see any people say, I lived in Hawaii.
Yeah, my dad was in the military back then, Air Force.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Nice.
Okay, so with your writing, when did you know, with writing so early, when did you know it was something that you wanted to pursue? And when you said you wrote short stories, what type of, like, what was your motivation? So what were some of your stories about, and how did you know that writing was something that you wanted to pursue long term?
Well, my short fiction stories when I was nine, I want to say, you know, with my imagination, it was mainly like children books, children stories.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say this, young adults kind of books, or I guess you want to say teenager book that, you know, a teenager would read. That's the type of short stories I would write about, just different things since so long ago. I can't really remember exactly, you know, but, you know, children books or things that teenagers read, you know.
Do you remember your first professional break? Do you remember your first professional thing that you wrote that actually turned out to be something really special?
Oh, let's see. Oh, my God. Being that not a lot of people read my work, I want to say this is the first time people actually heard me speak. My grandmother's 70th birthday celebration. I can't remember that year, but I read a poem I wrote to her, and I think from there, you know, everybody heard my work, you know.
I got you. Listen, that's normally where it starts. I mean, we start
exactly.
writing, and then we let family expose itself, because many of us start with family, or we start church or somewhere, and all of a sudden somebody hears and go, girl, you need to do something with that, or boy, you need to do something with that. So now, let me ask you, who is Lyrical Passion now? That's an interesting name.
Yeah, Lyrical Passion, I gave that name to myself because, you know, I'm a poet. And that's my pen name I use when I do my poetry or write blogs or whatever. I use Lyrical Passion. Lyrical Passion basically is a poet who, you know, likes to express herself through the words, you know, poetry. She writes things that she's been through, you know, has gone through in the past, things that people can relate to. She likes to paint her words on paper with a story. So she's very vivid at the stuff she writes through her poetry. And both of my books, you know, mainly my second book, mainly explains everything, you know, what people can relate to, stuff I've been through, you know, that sort of thing. So it's more of encouragement as well, but it's very vivid. I have a very vivid imagination. So stuff I write, you know, I want to paint a story as well to match the words.
I got you. Now, is Lyrical, now when you take on the Lyrical Passion persona,
right,
is it totally different from the Patrice persona, or is it just, that's just my writing name, I'm the same all the way? Because some folks, when they get into their writing mode, become that person. So is it Lyrical and Patrice two different people, or is it the same person with just your writing name?
I would say it's two different people, because when I get into my writing and my writing mode and write my poetry, I get into it. I'm Lyrical Passion, you know, I'm just writing and visualizing and just painting a story. You know, I get into that mode. Patrice Rivers, just, you know, the other person, successful, you know, that, you know, person who wants to achieve our goals. But my poet side is completely different when I get into it.
Now, as a poet, I'm going to ask you this, because, you know, we're going to have you got to read something, too.
Okay.
As a poet, you know, you should be prepared to read something.
I have
but
my
I wanna
book
ask
out.
You this poet. Gotcha. I'm going to ask you poet to poet. How long does it take you to write a piece? Is it something that you can just bang out, or
can
you tweak it, play with it to the point that it almost drives you crazy to get it down?
One thing I like about this is I can just spit out a piece like that. I mean, I remember one time I wrote about 6 to 8 pieces in one day. I can do it. I can just pop it out. You know, it, for me personally, it's not too complicated, because I can come up with so many different ideas and thoughts in my head that I put it on paper. So it don't take me that long to write a piece itself. My first book, it took me 2 days. So with the poetry, you know, so it don't take me that long. Yeah.
Okay. Now, we're gonna talk about your books in a second, but I want to what I want to know is, you said you write blogs also.
Right. Right.
And so are your blogs connected to your poetry, or are they something? Because I know you said you write for one of the magazines also.
Right.
But are your blogs connected to your poetry, or are they a little bit of everything?
Now, my first blog, I call it my baby blog. It's called What's in Nikki's Head. Basically, with that blog, I write about different situations, different topics that go on in the world, or things that come to my, you know, to my mind with that particular. I have a poetry blog on WordPress, which is just strictly my poetry that I share with people. And the other thing, the other magazine I was telling you about, the Urban Image magazine, I blog. I write for the dating and relationship blog part on the magazine.
Hey, look at that.
I do it every week, Tuesday and Thursdays, you know, so I do that every week.
And that's Urban Image magazine?
Yep, Urban Image magazine.
And that's urbanimagemagazine.com, I think, right?
Right.
If I remember that. Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay, so let me ask you one other poetry question.
Okay.
Are you a traditional poet in terms of you need to read from something, or are you the poet that likes to memorize so they can actually be a little more theatrical when doing it? And I ask that because I know myself. I have a hard time memorizing anything, so I need to actually read myself. So I'm not one of those. I'm a traditional poet. I open up my book, I read. So which one are you?
That's me. I'm the traditional poet. I cannot memorize my poetry. I can't do it. I try. I know
I
a lot of people that spoken word artists, they can do it. I just can't.
Yes.
Personally, me,
I'm
the traditional type.
I gotcha. All right. So now you have two books. I'm looking here, a collection of God's Word. A collection of God's Word, and let me see the other name. I want to make sure I get this right. And God's Word, collection of God's Word and Motivation, and Lyrical Passions, Tears from My Inkwell. So tell us a little something about the collection of God's Word and Motivation. I like the title.
Thank you. Basically, a collection of God's Word and Motivation is mainly, you know, inspirational poetry, words of encouragement through a Christian mindset. And, you know, everyone needs encouragement. You know, you can't live day by day without encouragement. So I just, for this particular book, I just, you know, want to encourage people, you know, with the titles I came up with because, you know, everyone needs encouragement. So mainly the first book is mainly encouragement, you know.
So with encouragement, we know that poetry always touches people in different ways, and I found that when folks hear a poet and they hear a poet read their piece and they can get where the poet is coming from.
Right.
Have you had any responses that just shook you up from anyone that's read the book who's come back to you and said, this particular piece or your book, can you tell us anything about someone who got that motivation that you were attempting to give to them?
I want to go back to family because mainly a lot of my family members have the book. That's mainly who I sold it to, or close friends. My great aunt, I want to say, I gave her this book, my first book, for her birthday last year, and she was really touched by it. A lady I work with, you know, with the Sickle Cell Association, she flipped through it and picked out her favorite poem, I Got a Reason. So she was touched by that poem itself. So people have actually told me, you know, that read the book, that they were touched by it, the words and everything.
Wow. Nice, very nice. And so now moving on to your second book, Lyrical Passion, Tears from My Inkwell. Tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, this book is mainly about me because, you know, I'm coming out of my shell a little bit, telling, you know, my readers about situations I've been through. Most of the poetry in here is from a mental-based type, you know, from my mind, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the situations I wasn't able to talk about, I put it through, you know, through poetry. So a lot of poems in here is mixed. The first part, poems are written 2006, 2007, 2008. I want to add that to the collection, and then poetry I've written 2012. So in the middle part of the book is mainly about me, the stuff I've been through, you know, as this girl alone who, you know, who feels like no one cares about her, you know, other stuff. So it gets pretty, you know, deep, you know, because stuff I've been through a lot. So I just put it through poetry. So that's what it is.
Now, were you nervous about, with the second book, were you nervous about putting your stuff out where you're going to expose some things about yourself?
No, not really. Because there's some other stuff, you know, I didn't put in there. But no, not really, because I think a lot of people can relate to situations that you have gone through. So it may help somebody else, you know. So
okay.
I just want people to know a little bit about stuff I've been through. So.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah.
So you know what? With that said, well, you know, you can't have a poet on and a poet not give you something. So I will let you choose from either book. Just let us know the name of the piece and from which book, so that way anybody listening will know which book to run out. They need to go out and run out and buy both. And I'm going to tell you before she goes on, let me tell anybody listening, the one thing that a poet needs is support, because poetry is not an ordinary genre. And people normally don't run out and buy poetry books, but when you find someone that you can respect, someone that you like, and someone that you can trust because you like what they're doing, support them by purchasing their book, giving it to someone as a gift, because, and inviting the poet to come and be able to perform so you can actually hear in what way the poet actually wrote the pieces, and then you will get the connection that us poets are trying to give you. So please support this young lady and buy both of her books, but let us know what you're going to read and from which book so the folks will know.
Okay, this is one of my favorite poems. It stuck out to me, and it's from my second book, Lyrical Passion, Tears from My Inkwell, and
mm-hmm.
this piece is entitled Silent Tears.
Okay.
And you want me to start reading it?
Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Silent Tears. Can you hear me? Suffocated cries, despising lies, evilness that once despised. Looking into a tunnel vision in the mirror of sorrow. Tears overflowing the saturated mind, born again believer, worry about tomorrow. I'm drowning on the hurts, the hurtful feelings, molested, verbal, incarcerated words of the forsaken demon-minded. No one can hear me banging on the portal walls. I slide and gasp for air, drowning on my own hurt and pain, trying to run for cover. I need shelter to take cover. It's just me fighting with these bittersweet, over-the-top, feisty waves and no other. I bang on the window, but no words come out from this suffering creature who just wants to breathe. Someone help me. I'm drowning. Suffocated by life, I'm drowning from these tears. They won't stop flowing. Help me. Save me. Save me from this cold-blooded, corrupted mind, shaking cold world. No light when I'm walking. It's just me and my silent cries. No one can hear me. I bang harder on the walls of freedom. My mind feels like it's about to explode from the negativity, pinning me against the wall. I'm falling deeper into the soul of hell. I want someone to help me, to save me, suffocating on my tears, and it's just me against the world. Can you hear me? Suffocated cries, despising lies, evilness that still despise. The door is open. My soul has opened. I am heard, saved. Can you hear my silent cries? And that's that piece.
There we go. There we go. Leave it to a poet. That's what I'm talking about. Excellent. And I like the fact that you put in a lot of things that cause a person to think about their own situations that deal with the things
right.
that you placed in them. And great use of metaphor. I like that.
Thank
Very
you.
Nice.
Thank you.
You know what? Your next book. What is the next book?
My Journey with Sickle Cell.
I'm sorry?
My Journey Living with Sickle Cell Disease.
Your journey with okay. Now is that directly connected to you? That's not poetry, right?
I have sickle cell, and I just wanted to tell people my story living with sickle cell.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know about it, you know, in the community, so.
That's
so
true.
That's true. With the African-American community, a lot of people don't know about it, so that's a good book. I know a lot of people have written books with their lives dealing with sickle cell, but I want to write my story, you know. I think that would be a great book.
Listen, I'm all for it, because no one can tell your story better than you can.
Right.
And I did the same with my memoir, because I wanted to have it down. Actually, my lovely wife forced me to get it down because I was doing everything else. And she said, no, finish your
right.
book, because people need to hear that. And the
exactly.
one thing that I can tell you by getting the book done is that people will respond to it, because anytime you're dealing with something that many other people are dealing with, they search for answers or just anything, how to do the day-to-day, how to do whatever. And you, you made a big statement when you said folks in the African-American community, like I have a sickle cell trait. One of the first things I asked my wife is, do you, because now we're about to have a baby coming in March. And if she had said yes, then that's something that we would have had to monitor because a lot of folks of color don't realize that. Do they, do they even have a trait? And they could wind up having a child that has to deal with I wish you well with the book. Definitely. And it's just a simple blood test, and the doctor can let you know. It's not nothing that's out of the ordinary.
Right.
When you go for your record physical, you can get checked out. Now, my wife, who's been sitting back quietly, she wants you to, wants me to ask you, are you willing to stay on with us for a little while to go past? I know we said 9:15, but we want you to stay on for a little bit if you don't mind.
That's fine.
Because,
that's fine.
Okay. So we're going to keep you on with us for a little bit because we're going to talk about here we go. My wife wants to talk about the sidekick
syndrome.
But she wants to talk to you about your relationship blogs and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, honey, jump in here. Jump in here and take it where you wanted to take it.
Yes, definitely. I wanted to. Once I saw that you blogged, had a relationship and dating blogs, I said, okay, we definitely have to talk with her about the side chicks because this was a discussion.
Right.
Earlier, I get into Facebook debates, and I posted earlier because there was a post going around about how to be a good side chick, which is a passion in me because I personally believe it gives a side chick way to be a good side chick, where I personally believe, why would you want to be a side chick at all?
Exactly.
And I'm into building up, uplifting, making sure women and young girls, because I'm into young girls under 18, making sure that they see their value. So what is your opinion about these how-to guides to be a side chick?
Well, me personally, to be honest, I don't think that's a good way to, you know, to promote that because being a side chick, it has its consequences. You know, if for a female point of view, if you want to be in a good relationship, don't settle for less. You know, make sure you're with somebody that actually, you know, cares about you, who supports you and respects you, but not to be, you know, a side chick. That's just uncalled for, not acceptable at all. You know, learn to be a queen, not a side chick, because what can a side chick give? I mean, it's just, it's not correct. It's not right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, the sad part is these guys, they don't realize that they're teaching folks how to do things that's opposite what the Lord would have us
exactly
do. And for myself, when I sit back, and as a person that lived that life and reveled in that life, you know, I just said to my wife tonight, when you said, how come men can't be honest about what they do? And I said, well, part of what assists men in telling lies is because there's women that they know will go for or offer to be the side chick. So you got a lot of men who go, okay, wait a minute. You understand I'm married. You understand I have a girlfriend.
Yeah, they don't
and
care.
The woman actually says, I will make sure and actually lay it out in front of them and say, I'll play this role. This is what I want you to do. And the man goes, cool. So now he believes he's benefiting.
Yeah.
But in essence, all three are hurting. But go ahead, honey.
Yep, exactly.
Lord knows. We know how you feel about this, Tiff. Go ahead. Just what's your thoughts on the side chick syndrome?
Is what I get a lot, and I know people are thinking it, even if they don't say it, that I may have some type of bitterness because of my circumstances with my husband and our history and what we went through. But they don't understand that my ideas were developed way before I met my husband. My ideas were developed from when I was a teenager and when I started dating. And it's not a matter of hating, but self-love. And I realized that I had value a long time ago before I even met my husband. So my thought process is independent of what we went through. And my question to you is, do you ever find yourself, because although people know where I stand, I still have friends who do their thing.
Right.
So do you find ever find yourself in a situation where you have your views and then you're dealing with a friend, family member that is doing them?
Or think they're so good at doing them.
Could you repeat your question? Yeah, I don't, in that particular situation, I don't have any like that because, you know, mainly I'm to myself anyway. So, I don't really hear
about
it. So
let's turn this around. Let me ask you a question. You have a family member or a close friend who comes to you and says, I enjoy being the side chick. I don't think there's anything wrong with being the side chick because that's on him, that's on them, I'm just doing me. What do you now say to them if they tell you that they think it's a good place for them to be?
Okay. Well, first I would tell them, I'll ask them, why do you enjoy, what do you get from being the side chick? Even if that person is married, like, do you understand you're trying to destroy a marriage that, you know, has been built, you know, a long time ago before you even existed? So they got to face the consequences, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to break up someone's marriage because some other person is needy or whatever the reason is, they holding on, you know. I just feel like side chicks or whatever they want to call it just want to break up relationships or break up marriages. And I just think it's not right. I mean, it's not.
I got you.
If you don't value yourself, I mean, that's like low self-esteem. Like, you can do better. You can have an actual relationship or marriage. Why would you want to settle for a side chick? Like, what's so? Yeah, it's crazy.
Very true. Very true.
I was just going to say that most of the women that I've spoken to, I hear a lot, well, if I don't do it, someone else will. And they're willing to settle just for the sake of having a little bit of something.
Right.
Even though it's a discount. I call it a discounted relationship.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's a vicious cycle is continuing because what people don't realize, when you choose to be that type of relationship, how do you try to steer your children away from that type of relationship?
Exactly.
As far as the daughter, would you really want to see your daughter being being used? It becomes a vicious cycle because your daughter sees you in it. And I've heard so many horror stories about it. I told a story some time ago that my mom was a teacher. She had a coworker who was dating a married man for many years. She had a child by this married man.
Wow.
The child grew up to become an adult. And she didn't realize until she was maybe 20, 21 years old that the reason why she didn't see her father on holidays and birthdays and graduations because her father was married with children from a totally different relationship. She didn't realize that she was a product of being the jump off. So it was really hurtful. It was a really hurtful situation. So it's a vicious cycle.
GQ Powell is like, yes. Turn up.
So let me ask you, with the relationship blog, what part of it is the highlight? What part of it you can do without?
You mean like as far as the stuff I blog? I mean,
the stuff that you blog about.
Basically, the stuff normally, I do a little research, you know, here and there based on situations I have with my friends, significant other, or things I see. I can give you some examples. My latest post, I think I blogged about having your partner's, your lover, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, password to their cell phone.
Okay.
And I wrote that because, you know, I asked my friend, you know, for, you know, his passcode to his phone. I mean, basically, I was doing some research on the internet on the consequences, pros and cons on having your partner's passcode. you know, it can be tricky at some point, you know.
Are you 4 or 6 having a password?
I mean, if you trust that person, this is how I see it. If you trust that person enough, then I don't think you would need a passcode. Because some people lock their phone. Let's say if it's stolen or something, then the other person, they can't get into it. But if you really trust that person, then I don't think having the passcode. I mean, some people do. It goes both ways. I mean, I'm not against it, you know, in some sort of ways. I mean, some people do have the passcode, but if I trust that person, then I wouldn't really need it. But I'm not against it. I mean, because some people do have each other's passcode.
You know why I got a problem with that passcode? One second, I got to jump in as a man. Yeah, I ain't going to let you two women speak that by and a man. What's wrong with y'all? First of all, here's the problem I have with people having the passcodes, only because if you don't know my friends, you may not know how my friends and I speak. And when you see something tight, now, yes, if there's some nasty pictures in there, you need to get dropkicked. But when two people talk, like I might have a friend, a female friend, that her and I are real cool and joke and laugh about whatever, say whatever, and mean nothing about it, whatever. And you may read something and go, what's this? And ready to stab a dude.
Yep.
Simply because you don't know the context of the way something was said. And my only thing with that is, as long as your significant other knows who your friends are, there really shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
You shouldn't have any friends that your significant other goes, who's this? And then there's like 17,000 posts from that, texts from that person. Then you got an issue. But I think the only problem I have is that when you start sharing passwords too, there's times you might want to have a conversation with a friend that you're dealing with something that you don't want to bring home to the wife. Not saying that you're keeping things from the thing, but I might talk to my boy and say, you know what, this is just what I'm feeling, and I don't want my significant other to maybe worry. So I go to a friend and say, well, you know, I text something, or even a female friend. But I personally believe a man should always come home to his wife first. A wife should always come home to the husband first with problems in the relationship first.
Right.
It should never be outside talking to somebody else before that. So I just want to say with the password, it can be tricky, but I don't think it's something that's necessarily needed. I don't care if they have a password or not, but we should be able to have communications. Because I'll say, let me get your phone. And Mara would be like, yeah, check it. Because I used to sneak in her phone. She ain't gonna tell you I did. I used to sneak in her phone. But my phone, she look at my phone, she'd be like, what is all this? I'm like, whatever. She used to look at my phone when I was whatever and find things and be like, what is this? I'm like,
I do the same thing with my friend. Yeah. I'm like, who is this?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But Tiff, you had another question? Tiff, you had another question? Because I was going to ask something.
Because that's what I was going to say also, that I don't have the desire to know Kale's passwords. Because I'm this person, you know, that when you're in a relationship, if you're in a relationship where you don't trust the person and you want to go through their thing, then I personally don't think you should be in a relationship.
Exactly.
But as far as the passwords are concerned, do you think it's a trust issue or is it the person being nosy?
I think that can go both ways. It can sometimes be a trust issue. I mean, if a person feel like they don't trust the other person, then they may find answers in their phone. But like the question goes, like I tell people, don't go looking for something, you know, and you find something else, or don't ask a question that you don't want to answer to. But when you go through a person's phone and see text messages, it's going to raise questions, question marks, or, you know, arguments and confusion, and the mood swings change. You know, it's just best, you know, I think it could be a trust issue as well. And then it could be people being nosy, because if you don't trust that person, it could be both ways. But a lot, I think most of the time, trust issues, because that person, he or she, may feel like, oh, well, this person not telling me everything. So they may feel like they need the password to find something else inside the phone. So maybe something, text messages, phone calls, whatever, may tell them something. But I think trusting your partner is very important. And, you know, you can do without the password, so. I mean,
you start looking, you better be prepared for what you find. That's all I tell folks.
I failed so many times, so I learned from
that. Gotcha.
I do questions.
Well, Patrice, let me ask you, bringing this to a close, because I want to say thank you for coming on. And I want to say thank you for, like, again, being so diligent, because I always want to support other authors who are out here trying to make it happen. So whatever we can do, and again, you know, I'm on Twitter with you on a regular, whatever I can do, and I try to retweet the things that you put out, so hopefully the people that are on my page, that are on my network, can see the stuff that you do also. So let me ask you one of the final questions, and I seen that you had mentioned God in your work. What role does your faith play in your work that you're doing with your poetry and with this future book? What role does your faith play in that?
Basically, you know, for me right now, it's the marketing and promotion, the marketing part. That is the most hardest part. So I just got to put my faith in that, because someday, I don't know when, soon hopefully that someone will discover me, and then big things will start to happen, open doors for me. Because right now I'm just marketing thing, promoting, and I'm doing the best I can. And everyone has their favorite whatever, and, you know, favorite authors or other people that's hired. And, you know, it just, that promotion and marketing part is really, you know, kicking my butt. So having faith in that area, praying, staying patient, you know, remaining patient, strong, that someone will discover me soon.
I'm gonna send you, I guess got to get her link, one of the young ladies that is in the poetry book that we did last year, the poetic anthology that we did, she's in Virginia. S. Hoffa, but I got to get her actual information. I'll connect you with her, because she does poetry events where she's at. I believe, is it Hampton? I'm not sure where she's at in Virginia. I got to double check. Or is it Virginia?
Okay.
I think Virginia Beach.
Okay.
I believe
that's
she's
in
Virginia
area.
Beach. But what I'll do is, I'll get you her Twitter, and I'll get you some information. I'll send you the direct message, and I'll send you an email with our information introducing you to, and this way you can connect, and she can see, you know, maybe y'all can connect, and you can do some poetry at one of her events or something like that.
Okay, that's
and
great.
See where
that's
it leads
great.
You, and, you know, this way it's someone that's in the state, and you can take it from there, because there's a couple
right.
of folks that are down there that I know are doing poetry that has done some
right.
work with us. So before we let you go, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give the titles of all three of your books. I want you to tell them where they can purchase your books. I want you to let them know what blogs and where they can read the blogs, and give out your Twitter information and any other information that you want to give so folks can connect with you.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you guys for having me on the show. The name of my books, the first book is called A Collection of God's Word and Motivation, and you can find that book easily on Amazon.com. And my second book is called Lyrical Passion, Tears from My Inkwell. You can find that on innerchildpress.com or also Amazon.com. Now, my third book, My Journey Living with Sickle Cell Disease, that will be coming out later on this year. So, you know, I will let, you know, KL know more information about that later on. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my Twitter name is Lyrical Fire, and that's F-I-Y-A-H for fire. Also,
gotcha.
You can, my blogs, one of my blogs is uniqueimage1.blogspot.com. That's my first blog, and my poetry blog is lyricalpassion.wordpress.com. And also, I have a fan page on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook.
What's the name of your fan page on Facebook?
It's author Nicole P. Rivers. And I'll tweet you, you know, the link too on Facebook.
Definitely.
If you can't find me.
I'll put that out. All right. Listen, again, I want to say thank you for coming on. I'll pass on the link to you a little bit later on this evening, so you can post it up on your pages, because you'll be able to come back to the site, and you'll be actually be able to take the embedded code and put it on your Blogspot page, because I posted the shows up on mine, and I'll send you the link to the shows, so that way people can replay the shows, and you'll have it for future promotions and things like that. And definitely feel free to ask any questions that I can help with, because my first book was poetry, and we have done two other poetry books with my publishing company, and I understand how difficult it is with trying to promote, and I can give you some ideas. So feel free anytime, email me any questions that you have. One of the biggest things I'm going to tell you before you get off the line is to make sure that you reach out in just your immediate area. Don't try to expand too far, because then it starts to become costly financially. Just start. Virginia is a college rich state. Also, poetry is big in Virginia. So the biggest thing is trying to go to various events and performing your poetry. Also, the fact that you're doing a book on sickle cell, connect yourself to any organizations that's connected to sickle cell. Look to come in and speak as a person dealing with it, and then ask to perform a piece or two and ask them, can you set up to sell your books? And this way you can connect your cause along with what you're selling in your books. And this way, if you just do it in your area and get folks in your area to start to support you, then you can actually start to branch out. So Virginia, Maryland, D.C., and North Carolina should be your targets, because it's easier to reach and not going to cost you to have to drive way out the way, and it makes it easier for you to promote. And they're all big poetry areas. So, but anything I can help with, feel free.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for coming on tonight. That is Patrice Rivers, a.k.a. Lyric. Check that out. Yes, I'm about to get up and start doing my thing. Now, you let that rock. But we want to thank Patrice for coming on, because I definitely understand how difficult it is when you're trying to put poetry out there. And the biggest thing is making sure folks can either hear it, even if you do some videos, some things that are going to let folks know why they should purchase the books. And the one thing I would tell any poet that's listening, as well as I would tell Patrice, find one or two pieces that's connected to things that people enjoy. When I did my book, one of my main pieces was connected to my lovely wife. So wherever I went, I did, what was the name of that piece? Perfect Woman. I would do Perfect Woman. I don't care what the cause was. It could be a Klan rally. I'm like, can I do Perfect Woman? Yeah. Because I'm going to work it in. So I know there's some Klan wives out there to be like, wow, I wish my man feel that way about me. But, you know, definitely if you do that, you're going to... But I'm just saying it's true. If you connect your poetry to at least one or two things, people then connect you to that particular piece, and then they start wanting to support you. So I definitely wish Patrice well, and my prayers will be for her and her work. And so we're going to do our thing. But you wanted to, honey, you had talked about the side chick syndrome.
We had started
to talk about it.
Before we talk about it, because I have to do this, because I was moved by Patrice. I was moved by the discussion regarding side chicks, like I said. We got into a Facebook debate earlier this week about side chicks. And I in no way consider myself a poet, although I do write poetry. I don't even recite poetry. The first time I ever... What'd you say?
You wrote a poem?
You know what? One of my poems is in your book.
Yeah, but I'm saying you don't bring that poetry pen out too much. Like every couple of years, it's like Haley's Comet.
You know what? The only time that Haley's Comet, you're so stupid. The only time I do is when I'm passionate about something, it's funny because I don't recite. I did recite at the pageant last year because I'm trying to get over my stage fright, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. And I got such a good feedback from it, being on stage and reciting for the very first time ever in my 38 years of life was at the pageant. And I did Why Do I Love My Curves. But tonight, based on the theme of everything, you know, poetry and science, I wanted to read a poem that I wrote almost 4 years ago.
Was we married then?
Oh, stop it. You know, we've been together for 13 years.
Oh, we were. I thought we were married. I know how long we've been together. I'm just saying.
Yes, we were married then. But right, we trying to figure out, was I writing a poem about you?
Yeah, I just saying. I got to make sure.
Anyway, the title of the poem is If I Was That Other Chick.
Woo!
So here we go. If I was that other chick, I wouldn't give respect where due. I'd be sitting around wondering how to make three and two. Two. Not you and her, but me and you. I would plot to kill her fairy tale dreams, stalk her on Facebook with an elaborate scheme, because after all, who is she to be treated like a queen? I wouldn't mind being your after-dinner snack or your late-night midnight walk-in-the-dog track. It would help boost my ego for the self-esteem I lack. Who'd care if you give her a place to rest her head, putting money in her pocket to make sure she's fed? Damn, I couldn't stand her. I'd wish she was dead. If I was that other chick, I'd be jealous too, pulling out my hair not knowing what to do, counting the minutes that I get to spend with you. I wouldn't care if your family didn't know my name, wouldn't care if you didn't cop me tickets to a New York Knicks game, wouldn't care if I didn't share that Braven fame. If I was that other chick, I'd strip my dignity. I would spare no sacrifice, you see, because I'd have more love for you than I'd have for me if I was that other chick. What you think?
Wow. Tell him why you're mad, son. Tell him why you're mad. Tell him why you're mad, son. Wow, if I was that other chick. Woo! Side chick poetry. Let me find out. When you write that? That's the first time I'm hearing this. Why you kept that a secret? What's that?
You know what's funny? I posted it. It was actually the date of it. It's September 13th, 2010, so almost 4 years ago.
I don't remember that. I'm glad it ain't about me. I'm good. My side chick is gone by that time.
A lot of times, like I said, when I write poetry, you're so silly. When I write poetry, it's something that sparks it. It's not something that I'm sitting around saying, okay, I'm going to write poetry today. Because I used to write a lot when I was younger. But now, because my schedule doesn't allow me, it just has to be something that I say, you know what, I need to get something down. I need to express myself. And that was one of those times. I don't know why. I can't remember why. But it had to be something that I either saw, not related to my relationship, but probably related to someone else, their post. And I said, you know what? You know, I like to give the side subliminals. So, yeah, I put it out there.
Listen, I'm not mad at that. Well, you know, somebody was just asking me about how come I haven't done any poetry in a while. And I just haven't felt like writing any because it's, you know, it's like yourself. I have to be in the mood and all this stuff. And I think with everything that's been going on, I haven't felt like writing anything. And I think that's the crazy part is that with side chicks, having been a former whore, the one thing that I do know is that I rely on, but I did rely on chicks being, wanting to be that. And I know what people are going through. I know what women are going through because you have so many women who are okay with it. And I know I said this before, but it's so true is that, you know, even now, there's women that if I called them tonight and said, listen, Tiff getting on my nerves, can I come lay my head down? Just the idea of thinking that they're winning, that they got it, like, I got her man, cool, come lay down. And I'm like, you know, I'm in control of me, but I know dudes who, you know, be like, cool, I'm jumping on that. Simply because I got somebody that's going to help me with the lie, work with me on the lie, and make sure I don't get caught. And this is the problem. And then, you know, like you said earlier, so many women are upset, and they wish men would tell the truth. I wish a lot of brothers would tell the truth, too, because I don't think men are thinking about the damage that they do. I don't think they're considering, you know, what's going on and what it's going to, what it's actually going to do to a woman when she find out how you devastated her, especially with the lies. I think one of the things that I got from when I wrote From Gigolo to Jesus was that I understood later on what the damage I had done did to somebody else. And it wasn't pretty. I didn't like that I had to live with that. I wish I could have did something different. I wish I could go back and say to those women or fix what I did to those women, but I couldn't because I had already did it. And I'm gonna do a piece because, you know, it's poetry now. Y'all done got me. I'm ready to go now. You know, I'm gonna do a piece that for the brothers that don't realize that when you're telling those lies, because, you know, when you got side chicks out here and you're lying to the woman that you love, yo, the damage is ridiculous. And us guys, we love to tell lies. But I think the lies come from weakness. The lies come because being a man, a stand-up dude for a woman that you love, requires strength. It requires bravery. It requires fortitude, because you're going to be having women tossing things at you on a regular. So I used to ask dudes, you know, why did I tell those lies? The other side of the men we don't see. Hold on, I got you. Why did I tell those lies? I should have told you, hell no. They aren't all my friends, just conquests I haven't gotten to yet. I wanted you to chase me after I walked out of the club when you asked me about that woman. I am scared and don't trust myself. That's why I call you so much. I wanted a mother, lover, and baby mama to look after me. I look at other women and make myself feel more important. I get angry at the next guy because my game is not tight. I'm not going to pay back the money that I borrowed to go out with the next chick. I still don't get this monogamy thing because I didn't try to understand it. I didn't try to understand what you needed. I really didn't think I'm sorry and a sad face. I really did think I'm sorry and a sad face could heal this. I want each chick on my webpage to think they are special. It helps me get into their panties. However, I have matured spiritually, mentally, and emotionally since our last fallout. I had to learn to call before I came over. I will stand with you in church and get the word I need so I can become a better man. I won't flip when the other man posts a slick remark on your webpage. I need you more than the damn Lakers. I agree that there are times I need to act grown up. Today is a great day. I know it's time to put up or shut up and become your equal, your protector, and possibly your best friend. I am done with multiple women. It's you I want. I am no longer scared of admitting I need the love and your love. I only pray that it's not too late to repair what I have done. I laugh as my boys ask, why the sad face? Are you missing your woman? I say, man, I'm as cool as a fan. But my heart and soul scream out, why did I tell those lies? Ooh, I ain't reeled that one in a minute. So anyway, that's from a man in transition. That was from my first book, A Man in Transition, from back in 2008. I think I need to get out my poetry pen again, man. Y'all ain't mess around, and man, I'll write a poetry book out this. But no, I think, baby.
What I was going to say, what's interesting is, and I mention this a lot, that with men, they want to have control. Because we've had this discussion, and I said that when I was growing up, I dated a lot. And I always told guys from the beginning.
Dating.
Shut up. You know what? You're the only one in this relationship that equates dating with sex. I don't equate dating with sex. When I
all
see
the
dating,
brothers listening know that when they hear a woman that's dating a lot.
When I dated, that means I enjoyed your company. Let's go get something to eat. Let's go to a movie. Let's hang out. It was not always accompanied with any type of intimacy. But I would tell guys in the beginning, shut up. I would tell guys in the beginning, if there's anyone that you're seeing other than me, let me know. This doesn't have to be exclusive if you don't want it to. And most of the time, the guys would lie and say, oh, don't worry about it, there's no one else. And then you find out that there is. The problem is, a lot of men, especially today, a lot of men realize that once they can get a woman into their arena to wine, dine, and slap their behind, that basically if the chick finds out that he has someone else, by that point it's too late because there's already feelings involved. The female's not going to walk away. And I think if women would take back control and say, you know what, I don't care what we've been through. At this point, I need to walk away for my own security, my self-value, my self-worth. And that's what it is, because a lot of times women get in a situation and it becomes a tug of war because they exaggerate their value in a relationship. Well, the guy already explained to you that your value is not much once he allows you to be in that position. And I'm trying to get across, I'm trying to get it across to the young ones especially, because the older ones, they're stuck in their ways and angry and bitter and vengeful. But the young ones, I'm definitely trying to get them to understand that you don't have to keep subjecting yourself to being mistreated, and you become, you go from 15 being mistreated to 55 being mistreated.
But it's hard, though. But think about what you're saying. First of all, let's step back a second real quick. If a woman has been hurt by the dudes or the choices that she made, forget the dudes, if she's been hurt by the choices that she made, can't seem to get things right, every dude she get with tells lies, it's easy to say you have to take control, but it's hard to do simply when you thought that you were in control. It turned out that you weren't. How does one actually take control? Because it's easy to say take something, but you have to explain how a person can do that. Because in the end of the day, you come up against a snake like me. I was a very intelligent man as a cheater. So I was going to make you feel like I loved you simply because I was going to do all the things necessary. And I found that a lot of women thought that they were in control. And actually, that was part of my game. I'll give you whatever you want. What you want? You want me to call you every day? Fine. You want my home number? Here's my home number. Because you're not going to come by my house anyway. And there's ways around it. And actually, you know, with now, the technology makes it tougher, but the technology also makes it a little easier because you can get a Google number that looks just like a regular cell phone number. This is my house number, and it's your Google number, and it's connected to your phone, and you can set it up that when the number comes through, oh, okay, that's the pimp line. Yeah, what's up? I'm just laying down watching TV, but you're at the next chick's crib. Now, technology makes it difficult because now if she's in control, she'll say, take a picture. Turn on, let's do Google Hangout instead of me just texting you so I can see what's going on in the background, things like that. But if you got to go through that, is it really worth it? But that's my question to you. How does a woman get that control that you're speaking of?
When I say to women to take control, it means to do just that. Because one question I put on the table when I hear women talking about being the other chick and embracing it and I don't care, I'm doing me, I'm not really trying to be in a relationship, yada, yada. How much are you willing to sacrifice? Because you can say, you know, I'm doing me, it's my body, this and the other. But I make a joke about it now. But there was a time, and still is a time, baby, I may plead the fifth, that I would tell someone, there are no rules when you start playing my game. So the idea is, how much are you willing to sacrifice? And I can guarantee you, if you play my game, you haven't thought far enough. Because if I tell you that there are no rules in my game, that means nothing and no one is off limits.
Oh, please.
And you have to think about...
You got lucky. You got lucky catching me, first of all. Let's just keep it real.
Honey, you don't hear what I'm saying. Because each time a female puts herself in that position, you put yourself in a position to make sacrifices. You already sacrificed your dignity. That goes without saying. But just how far are you willing to go?
I agree. I'm just messing with you. And most women don't think about what they've lost because they're focusing on what they believe they gained, but you're not gaining anything.
Right. So
it hit home on holidays, on special days. Like, I think that's the thing that, you know, everything is cool. The physical could be cool. And like you hear chicks say, I'm doing me and everything. When you hit that first holiday and you got Christmas dinner, but you know he's out, especially if you're a side chick who knows he's with the next chick, and you know that he's doing the family thing with the family, that, oh, we'll get together the day before, we'll get together the day after, ooh, he'll buy me my gift or whatever. Now, you could try to wrap it around money all you want, First of all, if he's got a side chick and he's rich, how many of those is out there? Okay, that's the first thing. Second, I'm serious. If you caught that rich dude and he's your sugar daddy, you know what? You and God better have a conversation, but God bless you. That's you. And you and the Lord going to have a long talk about it. But how many rich dudes?
Coach bag.
Yeah, I mean, the fake coach bag at that. And I mean, and being taken to Applebee's or Red Lobster on the low, that ain't no real date. And you playing yourself. So, yeah, he's taking the city out, but he takes you to, like, the last restaurant on the pier next to the water, down the steps, around the corner, and he tells you to blow the candles out because he wants it intimate. No, he don't want the camera pictures to come out. He don't want the phone to come out, you know, clear. So it's like, you know, nah, that ain't really me. So come on. First of all, stop. He's taking you to parties where you got to go down three flights of steps, turn a corner, knock on the door, and the dude gives you a shot of Henny as you're walking through the door. Those are not dates.
What's the password?
Even if you have a great time when you're with him, when he can't do the regular. And the crazy part is, no matter how much you try to insulate yourself to think that that's okay, you're going to miss some of the basics. Let's just go to the movies. Let's just stop in and have lunch. Everything ain't got to be a James Bond adventure, but it will be when you're the side chick. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing worse than being that chick home alone, being that chick laying there and then be home alone and want the man that you want to be with and can't even call him to get what you need because he's already somewhere else. So you do the little text, and y'all might have your little codes or whatever. It might be a number just to let you know you're thinking. All of a sudden, you hit him with the number two. The number two means I'm home. And you sit there, nothing comes back. Why? Because he done already turned his phone off because him and his woman are cuddled up. So how long are you going to sit there and play yourself?
And I have to say, because I see women who have been strong about embracing this whole concept, this whole syndrome. But I have to laugh because my next question is, okay, you're embracing it, you don't care, you just going to do you. Have you and your peace ever got into an argument? And the first thing I'll say is, yeah, of course, everybody argues. What the heck y'all got to argue about? The only thing he needs to do is walk through the door, take his clothes off, and get into bed. Because that's it. Y'all don't have nothing to argue about. Y'all don't even have anything to discuss.
And first of all, any cat that's arguing with his side piece need to be slapped up anyway.
Thank you.
How you arguing with the side piece?
You have nothing even to talk about.
Well, I got to put back on my pimp hat for a second. And I hung the pimp hat up. I slide the pimp hat on. First of all, player, if you listening, if you arguing with your side piece, you got to be one of the weakest cats in the game to date. Because if she knows about your woman, you can't get her too upset or disrespect her too bad. Because then she shows up at the job and goes, remember when you were sick? Remember when you took the kids to the hospital? Remember when you did X, Y, and Z? And all of a sudden, it's like, come on, you be in such a hole that you couldn't get out. But we do know one thing. The side piece will do all that and then cry as hard as the chick that got blown up and go, I'm so sorry I did it, and will still give you a place to lay your head.
Absolutely.
We'll still say, I'm sorry, boo, you can stay here on my couch and we can sleep in my twin.
We not going to even talk about that. Oh, my goodness.
Listen.
Sex
is the thing that sometimes keeps the side chick wanting to be down, because things that the dude may do to the side chick, he ain't doing to his wife simply because the first thing she going to say is, wait a minute. What is wrong with you? This ain't no porn movie, but the side chick, she don't get that luxury. The side chick hangs from the ceiling. The side chick gets things done to her, said to her, and you know what? He'll convince you that is what he likes, and you'll say, okay, to make him happy, I'm with it. So how much more are you going to degrade yourself? How much no love can you take? Because it's not love no matter how much you try to convince yourself. When you can't do the things and have the things that you want, you are not in a real relationship. When it's not mutual. So be the side chick all you want. Come on, you a pair of shoes. You are furniture to be moved around wherever he chooses. And you can't get mad at that.
I'm laughing because you mentioned twin bed, and it brought back a memory. Like I said, I mentor young girls, And sometimes, you have to listen.
We're not going to talk about that. She might be listening. We're not going to talk about that. She might be listening. Just understand that if you got a twin bed, and that cat don't even have a bed, that's, yeah.
Funny. We laugh about this. And actually, I mentioned it before. We laugh about it. We talk about it, but it's not a big deal. But I wanted to mention.
He got a twin bed, and you ain't got enough room. Y'all can lay next to each other. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. If he don't have hotel money, stop humping in cars and risking getting arrested because he don't have hotel money. And that 15 minutes in the car, he tell you how much he dig you. Stop. Think for a second. Catch yourself. Y'all just humped in a car. That's what prostitutes do. That ain't thrilling. That's cheap. Don't play yourself. Don't play yourself into thinking that that's acceptable, that he calls you, beeps the horn, knocks you down, and then goes back home, takes a shower, climbs in bed with the wife or the girlfriend. Come on. That's hot because he paid a bill? That's hot because he brought over a greasy chicken bag from Kennedy Fried as he was coming up the steps? That's hot? He got takeout at Red Lobster so nobody else would see him, and y'all don't even have a dude serving you the food, so you eating Red Lobster out of plastic boxes? Come on. That's hot? Really?
My mother, back in her day, she said the thing used to be when your man bought you some cigarettes, if he bought you a pack of cigarettes.
Come on. Brought you some smokes, so a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, some Moscato, and now y'all going to watch some stolen movies. The bootleg dude had a special, 5 for $20. We got all the hot joints. They clear. Come on. That's a Saturday night? That's a blockbuster night now? That's what's hot in the streets? Stop playing yourself. The side chick never benefits. Even if the cat leaves his woman for you, you couldn't trust him anyway. Stop playing yourself. And ladies, the control comes with between your legs. He don't get it until he's earned it. Not because you want some. Control yourself. Control yourself there. You control yourself with him. And I don't care how he makes you feel. An orgasm is not enough for your integrity. Don't play yourself. So what, he was good at that. Thank you, but no, you're not going to play me. This is how it works. Or just chill, which is really what you should do. But, this is the 2014. People going to do them. But be in control. And you know how you really catch a dude, ladies? Let me side chick. Let me explain to you. First of all, stop being a side chick. Second, you really want to just make it happen? Time. Demand time, and you will see how quick he lets you go. And ladies at home, you want to catch a man, you want to see if he's time. Maybe I want to come with you and see how he starts to come up with all the side excuses. And then he'll hit you with the, all right, yo, if you want to come, come on. But he don't sound excited. Pack it, get your clothes, go with him.
Well,
go
he started an argument.
Exactly, he started an argument. If he started an argument on Thursday so he can stay mad at you until Saturday because he had plans to go out, make up with him Friday night and say, boo, I want to go out because I don't want to be in the house. Let's go out. And if he keeps it going, yeah, he's messing. He's doing something dirty. And time. And erratic time, too. Call him after work. Boo, you know, I was just thinking, I'm going to take off a little early. Come get me. Let's hang out. Change it up somewhere. And he's going to hit you with the, what's been wrong with you lately? You just been on some. And if he's trying to get you back to the regular routine, it's because his side chick's routine is connected to your routine. Change it up. Learn football. Learn basketball. Love the bowl. Do all the things that he likes to do and say, I just want to hang out. I like being with you. Then he going to hit you. I just need some space. Okay. Hit him up. Make sure he downloads Google Hangout. Come on, baby. Turn your camera on. If he says, nah, my phone was dead, that works once. His phone is dead more than once.
Don't
come on.
Falter itself, because some women take it overboard. Some women actually believe that they need to spend every single waking moment knowing everywhere their partner is and being that their partner does, they have to partake in. Don't be faulted. That doesn't have to be to that extent.
Go out by yourself. Do something.
But
don't be
the idea is, if you find yourself being left at home a lot while he go hang out with the boys, there might be some problem there.
If you haven't been to the restaurant with the fellas, if you haven't been to the club with the fellas, if you haven't been to the movies with the fellas, and any other thing that he comes in saying, honey, you should have saw what so-and-so did tonight. That if you haven't been there to see it for yourself, you might be the side chick. Even though he's not telling you, you just the side chick wearing the label of his girl. Just be careful. Well, listen, it's almost 10 o'clock. And I know some women watch. Get KL. Anyway, I want to say a big thank you to Patrice Rivers for coming on, a.k.a. Lyrical Passion, for coming on tonight and introducing us to who she is and the world to who she is. And we're definitely going to pray for her and wish her well with her poetry and her business and her new book on sickle cell, because that is a very sensitive subject and one that is needed. We have a lot of folks of color that are suffering from sickle cell anemia, and they need to know about it. And I wish her success with that book. And like I said, connect yourself to things that are connected to your causes, and you will start to see the book sell. And anybody else, listen, tune in every Thursday from 8 to 10 here at GQ Palace Radio, every Thursday night from 8 to 10. Also, make sure that you tune into the other shows that are on GQ Palace. Just simply come by blogtalkradio.com, GQ Palace, and you will see the lineup. You'll get to also listen to some of the past shows if you want to find a show that fits your liking. There's shows on every night. Just check them out, and you will definitely find something that you love. And so for me, I just want to say thank you, and again, have a wonderful evening, and we will see you next week, God willing.
Baby. Good night. Good night.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I mean with my baby.
Built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times. And through it all, you held me down, baby. You've always held it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter,
I know
whatever comes our way.
I love you too.